baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you're listening to another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goes, Ari's co-host. Hello, Goes. Happy hump day. Late hump day here.
Hallows Eve. Is that what they call it?
I think so.
Yeah. Happy that.
We're so excited about Saturday's card that we said we're going to do the late Wednesday night version. That way it's all edited, it's all tightened up, and ready to drop first thing in the morning on Thursday, because there's lots to discuss tonight. Of course, we're going to go over and preview UFC 244, lots of compelling fights there, not just the BMF belt, but other top-notch fights involving top-notch ranked fighters. I'm going to have a full plate on Sunday and Monday when I'm doing the rankings for USA Today Sports and MMA Junkie. I can already tell there's a lot of ranked fighters here, so expect some movement. And, of course, a lot of news pertaining to this card. A lot of news outside of this card, because, yes, there are other organizations or there's other UFC news pertaining to other fight cards. So I can't wait to dive into it. How about you guys?
I am excited.
All right. Well, let's do this, Brutus.
Are you a football fan? Then you don't want to miss NFL 100, a USA Today sports celebration of the NFL's 100th season.
From the best on-field performances to the draft's biggest busts, we're picking the top 100 players, moments, and teams since 1919. See if your favorites stack up to ours at usatoday.com/NFL100. All right, what do you want first? The breakdown or the news nuggets?
I like the news nuggets.
All right. That's fine. We'll save it till the end and dive into UFC 244. And let me just say, whatever we don't get to, there's a lot of content on MMA Junkie because the team is hustling in the Big Apple. So today was open workouts. Tomorrow, I'm sure there'll be the ultimate media day, and of course we got the real weigh-ins in the morning, the ceremonial weigh-ins, but just a lot out there, and we always post the embeds that the UFC provides on Fight Week for pay-per-views. But let's start off with this one: President Trump to attend UFC 244 on Saturday night. What'd you think of that when you read that?
I think it's kind of cool that a president will do that, because anytime you see like the World Series or the Super Bowl, it's always kind of cool to look back and see that. The only thing that kind of sucks for the people that are going is the security really is heightened.
Right.
And I mean, like, don't expect it to be a little bit more. It's kind of outrageously more. So
his team alone has to be, what, 20 to 50? Like,
you would think so.
Between his staff and then the Secret Service. And it's not just like, oh, look, there's his eight goons. I'm sure there's people planted all over the arena.
This
is going to be pretty extensive.
Folks, I've seen a couple presidents, and you've gone through a lot. Like, we went through, man, we're just kids, too. So we went through metal detectors, then another set of, like, a metal detection area.
Yeah.
Then the wands, and then pat-downs just to get in.
Well, in the end, that's actually not what I was concerned about the most. I was just thinking, I wonder if that takes a little of Colby Covington's leverage away, because he's always said, I'm the one that brings the Trump family. I'm the one that's going to have the president attend my fights, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's true. He does bring that attention to him. However, he fights at UFC 245. That's next month. You know what I mean? And that would have been a really, really nice haul for him to be able to bring in the president and the first family like he did at that show this past summer where he brought in everyone but the president. But it seemed like that was the next step up. Remember, Colby's visited President Trump. You know, he brought him his belt, and of course he wears the MAGA hat. But I wonder what Colby's thinking. I wonder if he's little bummed out about this.
I think I know what Colby's thinking. I think Colby's thinking maybe send a text to the old pres and say, hey, you got an extra seat next to you? How gangster would that be?
That right? would be.
If they're tight, wouldn't you think?
But here's what I think goes. I think Dana one-upped Colby.
Think so?
Well, they're friends, too. Dana mm-hmm. spoke at the Republican convention before, after Trump was nominated, but before he became president, Dana spoke.
Yeah.
And, you know, he always talks about how Trump allowed the UFC to, you know, do one of their first shows there when the mm-hmm. Zuffa era was created.
The Taj Mahal, so right?
So they've known each other. I wonder if in any way Dana just thought, you're not the only one that can get the president there, kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who Maybe. Knows? Maybe we're diving too much into this. But
but you know how it is, man. Wouldn't that be your move if you were him and you were involved kinda, in that situation? Wouldn't that be your
Kobe
move?
Especially after Kobe told him that, what do you say, that MF-er's not going to mm-hmm. put the belt around me when I beat Usman.
But see, the way they are,
I'd slap him.
If you were Colby, wouldn't this be your move?
It would be my move, yeah.
Right? Now, when they show him, you kind of lean over and you got your belt.
Okay,
and you give a little smile to the
tighter,
camera.
Trump and White or Trump and Covington?
Well, didn't Dana have, didn't he say not too long ago, like, I support him, but I don't always agree with everything he tweets out or something
right,
like that.
Right.
So maybe Colby.
I disagree.
Yeah?
I think White and Trump are tighter.
Think so?
Well, the other two have met once, and I don't think they're text buddies. He's mm-hmm. real tight with the two sons. But as far as the president, I think Dana for sure, you know.
But it's always fun to be friends with a fighter. That's
sure.
like your fighter, right?
Sure, yeah. I don't know. Well, we'll see how this all plays out, but I saw that and I had to rub my eyes and go, what? Like, is this some sort of a joke? It's not, folks. It's on the front page of MMA Junkie. Donald Trump will be there. Guess who may not be there, goes?
Who?
Darren Till's having visa issues.
Darren Till.
Now, I'm hearing that he might clear this up in time and more than likely will clear things up in time so that he can face Calvin Gastelum in the co-main event of UFC 244. But he's not stateside yet. And so he missed open workouts, no big deal. And then I think he's prepared to miss the media day tomorrow. But here, take it a little bit further. Kelvin Gastelum is saying he's not worried about Darren Till's visa issues. He thinks he's hearing that it will be cleared up and he will be able to make it. Again, back to Trump. Maybe Trump can pull a string or two for the promotion.
Yeah, you would think, right?
He did specify he won't take Jared Cannonier as a backup. Cannonier apparently has been summoned or at least alerted, and I guess he's been getting some workouts in case he has to go down there and fight. Now, I think that's a bad move on Cannonier's part in a way, unless they've already told him flat out, and I'm going to basically transfer into some other news. So you want to chime in on this one first?
Yeah, I mean, I wish we knew better what it means when somebody has visa issues, because isn't like, especially, you know, like we've talked to a few people where we get the little bit of the inside information when it comes to medicals and the process that goes through that.
Yeah,
that sometimes I can see how it can creep up on a person, certain things, but visa, just, it's pretty straightforward.
I think
for most people, right?
He's a street fighter from Liverpool. I mean, somewhere around there, he probably got in some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, there's just probably extra steps you have to take when you come into this country. He's been in this country before. So if they let him in once, they'll let him in again. The problem is if you've gotten in trouble since then, that's one. Remember he had the incident with the hotel?
The cab?
Yeah, that one with the cab and the hotel. I think it was in Malta or some country off the coast of Spain or Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also had another incident in Liverpool where, if that hasn't been cleared up, or if you are on any sort of a probation when you were issued your first visa, then that could be, you know, that could stall you or maybe just prevent you from coming in. I doubt they would book them unless they knew that. I think the UFC is pretty thorough in their vetting. Mm-mm. As far as like booking a fighter.
I guess what I'm trying to say.
You just never know, man.
Is, would it be, because normally isn't it the visa issue is getting into a country, right?
Right.
But it can also be getting out of the country
that
you're
true.
In, right? So that's why I'm wondering, would it be more on the English side than it would be on our
side. Could be, yeah. I don't know. But they are feeling pretty confident that it's going to go down. And if they're confident, then I'm confident. But Gastelum, again, will not take the fight against Cannonier. He's already stated that. He says, I'll fight Cannonier, but you just got to give me the proper camp and the proper setup, the proper buildup for a guy like that. Yeah, you know what?
Hey, coming off that big fight that he just had.
I don't think I can blame him. Yeah. Right. Now, what he is saying is he thought with a win over Till, he would take Izzy. Remember, Izzy is not fighting Paulo Costa because Paulo Costa's got a torn bicep. He had surgery. He's out for 8 months. And Dana White has already ruled out Izzy versus John Jones. So who's left? Of course, I put out on Twitter, at MMA Junkie George, I thought the next person should be Jared Cannonier. You know?
Of course, I
love me some Yoel Romero. Of course I would love to see Romero versus Izzy. But Romero's coming off 2 losses in a row. He just lost to Costa. And that had he won that fight, he probably would have an excellent case because his losses have been really close split decision losses. But in this case, those are 2 in a row while you have another guy that's just ice and cats. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, man.
Romero's doing what he's supposed to, though. He, you know, well, what'd he say? Something like, just give me that paper. I'll sign it. I'm down.
Right. And I'm starting to think that the UFC's probably going that way, which, again, makes me shake my head because you're the UFC. You're worth billions. You don't need this anymore. Do it the right way, man. You got fighters out there busting their ass. They've earned their shot. Yoel's had his shot. I'm not saying that Yoel's such a badass that if he wins one fight, yeah, he's right back in the mix. But you can't lose 2 in a row. You can't
lose
two.
Who's the tougher matchup?
There's no way. There's no way you watch any fight and go, oh, wow, that's a tough one. He lost 2 in a row. But he probably earned a title shot tonight. Who says that? No one says that. You know what I mean?
Who do you think's the tougher matchup, though?
Romero.
Yeah, I think so too.
Fuck, dude. Yeah, I mean, Romero's got the wrestling thing that he never uses, though. That's the problem. And so, like, on the one hand, I want to say he's got the wrestling, he's got the striking, but he really rarely uses it. He has used it, but I just think, fuck, dude, I don't know, man. Coming off of two losses, though,
I think that's when he uses it, where he goes, all right, I've done it my way. It hasn't gotten me where it need to. A guy like Israel Adesanya, I'm going to use my wrestling and get out of there with a win. I would think.
But he doesn't deserve it, right?
Fuck, hell no. Cannonier
deserves it. And so I think Gastelum and Yoel Romero are both just tripping, honestly. Look, Gastelum, nobody's saying you didn't have a great fight against Izzy, and nobody's saying we don't want to see the repeat. Rematch, and nobody's saying we don't want to see Yoel versus Izzy. But right now, the guy that is head and shoulders above everybody else is Jared Cannonier.
Yeah.
Now, if the UFC feels different and it's a business decision, all right, well, then shove all that up your ass. Do what you got to do. It's not like I'm not going to watch it, but just take that smug look off your face. When fans and media ask questions like, you know, like, hey, what does this fight mean? And you give this look like, well, what's it mean? We got the number one guy against the number two guy, and this guy's on a streak, and this gal's on a streak, and if they win, shut up. Don't tell us that anymore, because it's basically just who do you like and who makes you the most money.
Yeah.
And we'll just stop asking those questions. I don't know.
Spitting venom today, huh?
Well, I'm just saying, like, this is ridiculous. Halloween? Goes 0-2.
I know.
You know what I mean? I have nothing to do with Cannonier. And of the two, I think Romero would be more fun to hang out with. Never really met Cannonier, but he told us some great stories from those days in Cuba. You know what I mean?
We entertain Connor all the time.
It's just that, it's not fair. It's not fair. And we build other fights up on that premise of who's hot, who's streaking, who's winning. You know, like that's logic.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's all that's happening there, folks. So my reasoning was in the segue from Gastelum not wanting the fact that Cannonier's training must mean that they've already told him we're going with Romero. Otherwise, he would just decline. He'd say, "Why am I going to jump on a flight to New York and fight Gastelum on a couple days' notice? I mean, unless he thinks I can fuck that dude up." But why is he going to go do that when he should just be next for Izzy? We're hearing that Izzy's going to fight maybe in February. Why wouldn't Cannonier just wait for that? He must have been told something if all of this is true.
I mean, that's a game we have to play and see how it works out. But you're right. If things – it's got to make sense at some point. You know, especially being on big ESPN where everything else is pretty, there's a roadmap to a championship in just about every other sport. I think at some point you're making millions of dollars, right? Like, you got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. I'm going to read you an article and then the headline, and then you tell me if you want to chime in on it, because I could care less. It's stupid. Dana White confirms working on date and location for Conor McGregor's UFC return.
Let's move on.
Exactly. It's exactly how I feel. Good for you. I mean, come on. All right. Next up here. Here's some more. We're jumping around here. Rob Font finally gets a fight. He meets Ricky Simon at UFC on ESPN 7. He's a junkie favorite. I like Rob Font. Mm-hmm. Simone's coming off that loss versus Uriah Faber. Both guys could use a win here in the deep bantamweight division.
I like Rob Font. I like it because it seems like he's still getting better. He's always in the gym. Yeah. He's a good kid.
Dana White has praised Ben Askren, even though he's gone 1-2. He does not regret the Demetrius Johnson trade. But that's kind of what he's supposed to say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he has to say
he
that.
He executed
but
the trade.
But I think I believe him. I believe him here.
Well, I think he got more out of it in terms of business, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys got themselves a goat over there that's probably becoming a star in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And he's performing. Ben Askren's taking two losses. And look, I don't remember his stand-up looking that awful.
Yeah. All's not lost, though. You give him somebody he can beat. Give him somebody he can beat. Build him back up again for another some sort of big fight. I mean, look, no matter what, Masvidal, you can always sell that as, hey, just got caught. It was 8 seconds. It was quick.
Right.
Let's do it again. Boom. People are paying attention again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can still make money off that guy.
Right.
It's just up to Ben Askren.
I love his interviews. He's never been that type of guy. And I know he's a decorated wrestler and everything, and he's got an incredible record, impeccable, basically, before getting the UFC. But Robbie Lawler was thumping him, and he managed to pull that one, win out. Masvidal, we don't know how the fight plays out if Masvidal doesn't clip him, you know, in five seconds or whatever. Maybe he comes back and wins. But when I watched the Maya fight, I was like, wow, I thought he would have evolved more after all these years. The stand-up is – he was just getting hit so easily. He did have a nice uppercut, but even his – you know, his the way he enters into the clinch, like he's so susceptible. Those hands aren't really protecting his chin. It didn't look to me like I was watching a world-class welterweight.
Yeah, that was a little – I mean, to be fair, Damian Maia has done that to a lot of people, but you're right. It just – it's probably not what you traded for, I think, in their eyes.
Yeah, it just – it paid off, though. He's been a big name for the UFC, you know, we're talking about. I enjoy having him on the show, but he's 1-2. The other guy's 3-0, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Douglas Lima, speaking of the welterweights, he wants Bellator to co-promote with the UFC, thinks he'd beat fellow champ Kamaru Usman. It's kind of a ridiculous headline in a way, because I think the UFC will just flat out never do it. All right? Except Bellator is open to that, so there's nothing wrong with him throwing it out there. You know, right now he's going to be on a media run because what he did was pretty incredible. He just went through a tough welterweight Grand Prix. He just became the champ. He's 1-1 now with the previous champ, setting up a possible trilogy. He's $1 million richer. He's the brother of a UFC fighter. He's respected by a lot of welterweights out there, and he's ranked really, really high by USA Today Sports and MMA Junkie. So he has got it all. But then I started thinking, Dana White has sent fighters overseas. Hmm? It's just that it was like 15 years ago.
And it was more beneficial to them at the time. Pride was the bigger name. That
I don't
was helping
think he would
out.
Do it now. I really don't.
There's nothing they can gain from it.
Yeah, I just don't think he would do that with Bellator. There is nothing he can gain from it. But at first, like I said, I wanted to click it the same way that I talked about the Dana White McGregor one.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do the same, like, all right, next. But then I thought about it, like, well, I don't know.
It would be fun to watch. And anytime you do that, there kind of has to be like a home and away, right?
Yeah.
And I just don't see them sending one of their champions to the Bellator organization.
Let me just keep blasting through these. Speaking of Bellator, Kat Zinganu, a sign with Bellator, goes, I was looking. And when the UFC lost Sarah Kaufman and Kat Zinganu, in my opinion, they lost two quality bantamweights. Why'd they do that? Why? It's not like they were that deep in those divisions. Kaufman is now a lightweight in the PFL. You know, she's a former Strikeforce champion with lots of great wins underneath her belt. And Kat Zinganu, same thing. Always an exciting fighter. It seems like she's always been a UFC favorite.
The fans go pretty crazy for her when she fights. Yeah. Kids her seem
fights,
to like her.
Her fights don't suck, man. That's for sure.
I think it's a good get for Bellator.
It is.
The question is, like, if the UFC didn't want her, I don't know how much money Bellator would have been, or sorry, PFL would have been throwing her way, or one championship. So the question is just like, is this one of those signings where Bellator paid a lot of money, or did the situation call for them just, you know, just a basic signing? And if it's a basic signing, then I think it's a good one. But I think if they're slinging out dough, I don't know if that's a great signing.
Folks, remember how we've told you about the certain fighters that have just kind of popped for us over the years, and then they go on to the UFC? I don't know what this guy's going to do in terms of his athletic talents, but I think you guys are going to enjoy newcomer Nate Landwehr. We've had him on the show many times as an M1 fighter, and he's pretty entertaining. He's pretty much a Southern kid from Tennessee, speaks his mind, gives funny interviews, and now congrats to him is what I wanted to say. He's going to be facing off against Herbert Burns at a January 25th event, but who knows? Well, maybe if he can match his skills to his mouth, to his interviews, I think they'll have themselves a little fine Southern gem.
Yeah, I think if the UFC is smart enough and they can give him favorable matchups to start, you can kind of generate a little bit like Hick Diaz. Remember when he first came in?
Right.
That, a little bit of that buzz. Because, I mean, Nate's a good fighter, but I don't know that he's great. And that's just a killer division. So we'll see. But I really think that you could generate some fans out of that guy, some T-shirt sales. He's a cool kid.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dana White. Here's a few more news nuggets, and then we'll start talking UFC 244. Dana White Contender Series launching in Asia 2020. Okay, I think it's big news. I'm not particularly excited about it because it may become a hotbed, but it's not one yet. All I know is that Weili Zhang won a title. Cool,
big.
She looked good, but I mean, Contender Series is like, if they're going to do it like they did here in the United States, it's anywhere from 8 to 10 weeks, 5 fights. I mean, do they really have that many quality fighters? Am I going to tune in every Tuesday night? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I may tune in to the first one, but good luck with that is all I got to say. That said, I think it's tremendous news, though, for the UFC.
Oh, yeah. It's
you got to start somewhere. You know what I mean? But remember, I was telling you, I only have so much on my plate that I can watch. And I don't know. It'll probably take a few seasons before you tell me.
I think anytime they do this, though, it kind of goes under the radar. Like, if you look at some of the toughs they did in Brazil and all that, some pretty decent fighters have come out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And we're going to switch to UFC 244, but one fight that was added for UFC 249, Jeff Neal versus Mike Perry.
Anything that's a cracker, Mike Perry right? Yeah. Will get me through the door.
Me too, man. He is one of those BMFers, so I don't know if this fight will have any of those types of implications. I guess it's just going to be one belt. It's awarded. That's that, but would have been nice if that belt got passed around a little bit, like a hardcore belt. I don't even want to call it like the Intercontinental title or the United States, you know, NWA used to call theirs the U.S. title.
The TV championship.
Yeah, no, I just think it's kind of like a hardcore title, but yeah. I just love these welterweights, and I've always... Mike Perry has definitely grown on me, and I've always said Jeff Neal's got some of the best boxing, some of the best hands in all of MMA, so that's a great, great addition. Way to go, UFC. They keep stacking these cards to finish out the year. 245 is insane. All right, time to discuss this weekend's action. All right, guys, so things start off on the UFC Fight Pass. It's still around. Julio Arce versus Hakeem Dawodu, Lyman Good versus Chance Recontre, and Caitlin Chookagian versus Jennifer Maya. Chookagian, if she gets a win, probably has the advantage of who might fight Valentina Shevchenko next. Unless, of course, there's some other fighter out there that's lost 2 fights in a row. And maybe they're being ready to be anointed a title shot. But no, I'm being a smart ass. The only thing I can think that might derail that is Weili Zhang said she wanted to fight Valentina Shevchenko. And again, if this, you know, if they fill out some stadium in China with 100,000 people, you know, Dana White's tail starts to wag. So
yeah.
That's all pretty much ridiculous talk. My point is, this is a competitive fight. the winner has a lot going for him, but I think Chookagian's leading the way here.
I know Amanda is pretty much the GOAT. It's very difficult to even argue that.
Right.
But wouldn't you
Katzen
say...
Katzen Gunner beat her, by the way.
Yeah, wouldn't you say Valentina Shevchenko is the most rounded female fighter, I think? She's a beast in the stand-up.
Yeah.
She's got great ground game, submissions.
Well, Amanda's got
she's
power.
She's tough, man. I think Amanda's just kind of a striker. Just, I mean, that's how.
And Amanda got that takedown in round five of their second fight that mm-hmm. actually won her. But she's bigger.
Yeah.
You know. So I don't know. I mean, plus we're homers a little, so maybe mm-hmm. they're right there. But you got to give Amanda number one and the other one number two. All right. Then they move over to ESPN2, and we have Andre Arlovsky fighting Brad Tavares. Got newcomer Edmund Shahbazyan. Shane Burgos versus Makhmon Amerikani. That's a good fight, folks. It is. Corey Anderson versus Johnny Walker. That's when things really start to heat up. Yeah, because that one could have title implications for Jon Jones. I know Jon Jones will be eating his popcorn watching that one for sure.
Corey's an underdog, and I would bet money on Corey on this fight. I really think it's a good fight for him to when you break it down, when you look at Johnny Walker and what he does – he's very flashy. He throws everything from the outside, but Corey Anderson's a guy that cuts all that out. He doesn't give you that space. So I think he's a live dog in this one.
Yeah, the ESPN2 portion starts at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. The earlier portion on Fight Pass is 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And then we move over to the main card, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. And by the way, folks, Goz and I will be doing a UFC 244 watch-along on Sportscaster, so we're going to order the pay-per-view. We're going to watch it. If you don't order it, you can watch along with us. We'll basically tell you what's happening. We can't show you the screen, but you can hear it through our lenses, kind of like old-school radio, basically, is what you're listening to. We get into some play-by-play and color commentator, and then most of the time we're just laughing, goofing, having a good time. Similar to what Joe Rogan's done with his fight companions. I think we're a little bit more into the actual fight card itself.
Mm-hmm. But we have fun, too.
Yeah, yeah. We do have fun. And, again, you can go to www.sportscaster.com/MMAJunkie Saturday, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific for sure. Although on this one goes, I'd like to enjoy the Tavares fight and then turn on the Sportscaster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In time for – I think Burgos and Amerkwani is going to be really good, and I don't want to miss Anderson Walker. So this is a good one to turn it on early. Now, the main card, Kevin Lee versus Gregor Gillespie. Boy, Kevin Lee's being really respectful of Gregor Gillespie, saying it's the most dangerous fight he's ever taken. I'm thinking, you fought Tony Ferguson. I don't know that it gets any scarier than that one. But
I kind of get what he's saying. Like, I think he means
because of his losses and where his career's at.
If you lose to Gregor Gillespie, his name isn't as big yet, where it's one of those where, like, if you beat him, okay, you beat Gregor Gillespie in kind of the casual fan eye. But if you lose to him, that one's going to sting. So I kind of understand where he's coming from with that.
Mm-hmm.
But Kevin has great wrestling. He really does. And I know, like, there's these guys that come in, they say they're wrestlers, and then you see them throwing their hands more and submissions and all that. But really, at the core of things, Kevin is a really good wrestler. And if he can somehow shut down Gregor, yeah, for even a bit, then it gets interesting because we haven't seen that happen to Gregor yet, right? Gregor's gotten his way pretty much in every fight. So it's really a fun fight.
Yeah, this will be his first fight under the tutelage of Firas Zahabi. Derek Lewis versus Blagoy Ivanov is next. It's the swing bout. It's the second bout of the night. They used to call it that, but it's basically the second bout of the night. They will fight in that position. And there's no longer the worry of the three-hour pay-per-view, you know, going over the limit because they're on ESPN+. Plus. They can take as long as they want, honestly. But these are two big heavyweights. Ivanov's kind of on a nice run, and, of course, Derek Lewis has established himself as a great heavyweight these last few years as a contender. He's coming off a serious injury, knee injury. So see how he responds. But I got a feeling someone's going to sleep there. I don't know who.
I think so.
I sided with Lewis, but Ivanov can crack too.
Ivanov puts a lot of pressure, and you're right, he can crack. But I've noticed in fights, he takes shots.
Oh, yeah.
And the deal is you can only take so many of those from a guy like Derek Lewis. And so I think Derek may have some problems with him early, but I think eventually he can put him out.
Steven Thompson versus Vicente Luque. More welterweight action.
I actually went the other way on this one. I went with Vicente Luque.
Did you? Oh, you
bastard. Took Thompson, huh?
Yeah, I got to reconsider them because I took Thompson, and I felt real good about it. Then I see you taking Luque, Dan Tom taking Luque. I'm like, okay, what did these guys spot? Mm-hmm. Because Goes is a former champion of the staff picks, and of course Dan obsesses and pours over so much fight footage. So I want to make sure I got my parlays ready to go. Maybe it'll be my own little avoid list, like Dan does on his Protect Your Neck podcast. Check it out, folks. I don't know. Maybe I'll just sit back and enjoy it. But I've always just seen people struggle with Thompson because he's just so tough to touch, you know?
He's not pulling the trigger, though. That's the problem.
Save for Anthony Pettis. Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
I think that's the big thing. And that's Vicente Luque, man. He's nonstop.
Yeah. Well, Luque's been trucked before, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Kelvin Gastelum versus Darren Till. We already talked about this. Till still not in the country. I guess he's having issues, but they're expecting the fight to go down. Luckily, the fight card will still stand because it's got great names on it. We've already named a bunch of them. It would suck to lose it, but I wouldn't be mad if this fight spilled over to UFC 245 here in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Nah, I'm just kidding. I mean, of course I would love it, but I really want to see it on Saturday.
It's a good card. This is a solid card, but I think we're just all paying for that main event. That's what we want to see.
And that's what's
it's
up next.
It's a can't-miss fight.
The main event, Jorge Masvidal, Nate Diaz. He's swinging back and forth. No. Still on the Masvidal train?
Yeah, it's just, Nate's a good striker. Great ground game. But Masvidal's a pinpoint striker. Mm-hmm. And he goes to the body. And I just feel like in fighters' careers, you could only go so long taking a few to give one. And I think Nate's going to take some shots. I think he's going to get opened up.
Masvidal's been dropped.
He has been dropped, yeah. But I just don't know that Nate's not like a one-punch guy to do something like that. So
right.
I think Masvidal's going to be patient. And when Masvidal choose and put him down.
What his poison's been has been the left-handers. Mm-hmm. Nate does have a nice left. It's just not thrown with as much power, ferociousness, speed. It's there, and there's a volume of it. It exists. But I think Masvidal, I think he'll be safe. I think he's a lot better since Means and Chiesa, and I forget who else dropped him. But
they should have two referees in there for this one because those guys aren't going to quit. Those guys have so much guts and balls, dude. They're not going to stop.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. That's UFC 244. We got lots of coverage on the website and on social media. You can follow me at MMA Junkie George. That's Twitter and Instagram. Goes is at the Goes. The show is at MMA Junkie Radio. And like I was saying, tons of coverage on MMA Junkie. In fact, make sure you follow the Facebook page for MMA Junkie. We got like almost 1 million likes there and 400,000 followers on Twitter. Simple, at MMA Junkie there. And I think on Instagram, it's at MMAJunkie.com. Spelled out.
D-O-T.
Yeah, and I think that one's got like 700,000. So, I mean, we're literally just splashing every 15 minutes some sort of content on social media, on the website. And it kicks ass. And we got a new hire. Can't say who it is just yet, but the team's getting fatter, huh?
Yeah.
Right?
I can't tell if that's a joke or...
No. The new hires.
Where there's just more of us.
Yeah, there's more of us. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, talented individual.
Okay.
Yeah. So look out for that pretty soon. And congratulations, because it just literally happened a few minutes ago to the Washington Nationals. Mm. They won the World Series over the Houston Astros. First time that the home team didn't win in a 7-game series. All the games were won by the visiting team. And I thought the Nationals, they won the first two, and I thought that, that would just be too much for Houston to overcome. Mm-hmm. And those bastards won 3 in a row in Washington. Tickets were going for $2,500, standing only. And they brought it back to Houston with Verlander going in game 6, except Verlander's just, he's a bottler too.
Yeah.
He's 0-6 as a starting pitcher, and I think 1-7 as a pitcher, meaning he started, but I think the extra innings, he wasn't the pitcher who got the decision, you know what I mean? But he was involved in the game. He just, man, but he's a great pitcher. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. But the Washington Nationals, they were down 2-1, and they came back and won it. So congrats. That's huge for them. All right, folks, we are out of here. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Don't forget about Sportscaster on Saturday. And don't forget to always be a champion.